You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
You know, so people, I think people really caught a hold of this going, do you have somebody in your life that would take a bullet for you? But would actually say, now I do believe a lot of the time a father's love or a mother's love would. I believe there was a bullet. You know that your five-year-old child is going to get shot and killed. You can step in the way and take the bullet and die. Ugh, I mean, mothers and dads that really love the children would gladly take that bullet. So, but Jesus, what better way could God come to earth? He was demonstrative, demonstrated healing. I'm going to heal, so you know, I come from somewhere pretty good here. And darkness would not heal because the house divided against itself cannot survive. So I come from the good side, and then I'm going to lay down my life for you. What more can I say? What more can I do?
Amen. And you know, you get some people, there's all these, like, people say he's one of many roads to God. I'm like, well, if that were true, he sure went through a lot of hell coming to earth and doing all that. If he didn't even have to do it just to supply another way, that's ridiculous.
They say his body, he was so beat up by the Roman soldiers there that you could hardly see he was a human. The cat of nine tails, they have no idea. I'm an artist, you know, I've done some paintings, and there's a lot of blood. They have no idea. Like when you see The Passion of Christ, did you see that movie?
Yes.
Yeah, that's, you know, that was pretty horrible. I mean, I often thought about that. You know, Jesus, people try to paint Jesus as this, you know, soft guy. Yes, he had a loving heart. But Jesus was a man's man. What kind of a man does it take to go to the cross? He prayed, God, if there be any other way. I mean, how about you if you lived your life holy and you did all good and you're clean of sin and you're willing to, you know, it's you're going to be your job to be the Lamb of God, to die on a cross for the sins of others while they're still sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever shall believe on him shall live and not die, right?
It also says that nothing was created without him and all things were created by him. And so the very people he created were the ones murdering him.
Okay. You and I have a pretty good idea that we're sons of God. We have been contacted by him.
Yes.
We did not choose him. Jesus made this clear to me. He said, I chose you.
Amen.
It's nice to be chosen. And just like an adoptive child. And
that's exactly what it is. We become heirs. That's where people miss it. We're not beggars, sinners begging for something. You've got to understand with healing and deliverance that you are now a son. His blood makes you righteous, Romans 5. And now you come boldly before the throne, and that's how you get to things.
So even if I was involved in sin last night,
well, you repent.
I'm sorry that. Saying you're sorry though, but
repent actually means turn from it. It's,
yeah, but
you can
you
have
know,
two
that's
people
I mean.
Doing the same.
Like
sin.
You say, hey God, here I am again. So this I can't. I say I don't even know how to get to a place of real repentance. You know, a real place of broken and contrite. Have you ever been in church? And, you know, you're sorrowful for what you've done. You're truly, all of a sudden something comes upon you.
Yes.
And you might even weep and you know, because you get hard from the world. And, you know, you've got you put on your airs or your walls of protection. And suddenly, you know, you come back to a place of trust and go, that's right, there is one I can trust you. And you go, you know, I'm sorry that I yelled at that guy in traffic, or maybe a blatant sin. It could be a sexual sin. It could be any kind of sin. But, you know, you did it again, and you go, I'm truly sorry, because he says, it is written that a broken and contrite heart the Lord will not despise. A smoldering candle. That's like you see a candle, and it's just a little smoke. It's not even lit anymore. He will not take the fingers in the old days and snuff it out. A smoldering candle he will not snuff out. A bruised reed he will not break. Because, you know, at the time, you know, we can be hard and arrogant and full of self. Full of self means there's nothing left in you for anybody else because you're so thinking about yourself. You're filled with just yourself. And then the time comes when all of a sudden something bad happens in your life and you go, wait a second, you're calling upon me. Aren't you the guy that cursed me a few months ago? Aren't you the one who said there is no God, blah, blah, blah? But no, but I know, but I'm, and he goes, okay, well, I'm just going to forget all that.
Yeah,
you're broken, you're contrite, you're coming to me with humility, you know.
Yeah, and that's where people miss it. They look at God as human, and it's like blessing or curse, you choose. And you can be choosing the curse, and the minute you turn, he's not over there. What you did is you're like back in the blessing. It's like you choose. In Galatians 5, it lists a bunch of sins. It says those that do these things won't enter the kingdom of heaven. But if you look the word do up, it's habitually do as a way of life. So you can have two people doing the same sin. One's trying not to. His heart's right before God. The Holy Spirit's convicting him. Say he falls asleep with the girlfriend. 3 weeks later, he falls again, but he's trying not to. He's living his heart's right. He's forgiven. Then you have another guy that's just like, well, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, you got people that go to church on Sunday, and they have every intention of sleeping with Bertha on Monday, you know.
Right, and in their heart, you know, they're not going to turn that over. The Holy Spirit's lifted. He's not even convicting them anymore. So that's, you have two people, one on the way to heaven, one on the way to hell, doing the same sin. And he knows what spiritual things we're battling, too.
Yeah.
One may have a spirit of lust, one may not. And the one that doesn't still does it because he don't care.
Well, for instance, we talked about addiction before. Now, I weigh too much. It doesn't run in my family. Nobody except my Italian aunt, who's not my blood, has had been anywhere near obese. I have too much weight on me. So I believe I traded in the alcohol and comfort myself with food. I know when Barbara had cancer, Bluebell ice cream is, I'm very fond of ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, it's like an addiction. I can't even have it in the house because I will eat it. I will consume it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there going, you know, I mean, it was a dark, dark night. There's, you know, 12 different operations. You're in a horrible place. It's raining outside. There's a tunnel. You don't know there's any hope in your life. And you're there and you go, you're watching TV, the evening news, and you take a spoonful of a whole half gallon in front of me going, oh, Lord, I know it's a sin. Forgive me. But the moment it touches your tongue, just all the troubles of the world go away. It's a way of blocking out the pain with food, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's all past, but still, you know, come home from a hard day. I don't eat that much during the day, but at night I'm watching TV and I'm watching movies and I get excited. Popcorn, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, cup of soup, whatever it might be, you know. Ice pop, not ice cream, but ice pop.
You know, I just have a good metabolism, but sometimes I fall into that too, you know, and I...
Well, that's what really bugs me about it. I got to pay to the Lord because I have a friend. You know Michael the Greek. And Michael the Greek down there, Michael Simas.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, he literally eats three times what I do every day. We're having an Italian meal. He says, well, I stopped off an hour and a half ago and had a couple of pieces of pizza. And you're eating a full meal here? I don't eat like that. But he can eat and eat and eat and eat. If he doesn't eat, he'll start to lose weight in a dangerous way. High metabolism. So, Lord, I'm praying, would you please speed up my metabolism? I would ask thee for a miracle.
Amen.
You never know. I might get it.
Amen.
I might get it, right?
Amen.
So, is this anointing in this room? Right?
Amen.
All right? Hey, you never know what's going to happen. You can try for years and years, and all of a sudden you go, what finally happened that he answered that prayer? You know. So I'm asking right now, right here, right now. And maybe there's somebody else out there who's listening in Radio Land, and you're in your car or wherever you are, and you have some sort of an addiction. It could be gambling. Do you know more people commit suicide over gambling addiction than any other addiction?
Really?
That's what I read.
I didn't know.
Yeah. So I'm glad I've never had that addiction. But they say that the dopamine is released not when you win or lose. It's when they make the bet, the hope, I guess, or something. That's when the dopamine is released. So that's what they like, you know. Well, you know, there's a fast food company, Jack in the Box. So a couple of years ago, the man who started it dies. He leaves $1 billion to his wife. She went and gambled it all away in 1 year.
Oh, my gosh.
And then because she had good credit and people don't know this, she borrows money, so she's 100. Not only did she lose the billion, she's $100 million in debt. Do you think she's ever going to make that money to be able to pay it back? And so there are more deaths due to gambling. So if you were out there now, you've worked with people or prayed with people that are addicted, right?
Yeah, a lot.
Okay. So I tell you, well, let's talk about it. Maybe lead a prayer of deliverance. How do you deal with people who are addicted to alcohol, drugs, food, sex, whatever, gambling?
Well, let me say one thing is, one thing you come with addictions is it can be different things. One person's addiction may not be the same as the other. Like, I had a guy come in. He was lined up to go in Dunklin. His kids didn't even know he had a problem.
Dunklin is, by the way,
a 10-month program.
Down in South Florida. Dunklin, yes. What's it called? Dunklin.
It's not Memorial, is it?
Dunklin Memorial. I think it is.
Okay.
I just wanted you mentioned that.
Yeah, they're really good place.
I've had some miracles take place out there. I want you to know, if you have somebody who has an alcoholic problem, a male, Dunklin Memorial. Okay, go ahead.
So anyway, the guy, there's another man that he was actually in Benny Hinn's ministries with Kenneth Hagin, and somehow he made it into my classes when I first started in House of Prayer. This is like 20-some years ago. And his wife had a real bad hunch, like, where her shoulder's like 6 inches from the chair. They'd been doing stuff for 20 years, like exercises. And I laid her down, and God straightened her back out in my class. And he had me rebuke rejection, had her lay down. I'm like, you told me to do it, you know, and I was new. So I, and her three times, or click, 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 click. And when she stood up, she's straight. She's, and, you know, and they'd seen a lot of stuff at Benny Hinn's, but they're like, man, I've never experienced anything like this. And then he was going to a Bible study, and there's a guy there that's fixing to go into Dunklin for 10 months, leave his job. He had a $100-some thousand-dollar-a-year job. And the man said, he said, I can't promise you, but I got a feeling the Lord's telling me this young man down, I was younger then, in Fort Pierce, if you go to his meeting, then he has something for you. Well, for him to come to my meeting, he had to give up checking in to Dunklin because he had to be there before my meeting. So he gave it up, and he came down there, and I taught on rejection. And rejection, people don't understand. I had that really bad. I don't know anybody doesn't have it to some extent. That spirit makes you feel like a round peg in a square hole. You feel like you don't fit in. When someone corrects you, you feel like they're putting you down. Makes you defend yourself, and it's really involved with addictions a lot. And I taught on that and did a deliverance, and then he come up, and I prayed for his basal ganglia, because with alcoholism, if you have the gene, your basal ganglia, picture a golf ball tee on a golf ball. The golf ball is your brain. The tee is your spinal, where the brain sits. It releases chemicals. Well, if you have that curse in your family, it don't release the chemicals properly. And when you drink, you mutate and get an allergic reaction. It creates a new chemical called THIQ and creates a permanent craving for alcohol. Mm. So one person has that, and you can tell because they can't drink one drink. I could drink one drink even though I drank a lot. So I didn't have that, but I've been with girlfriends that had that. You don't drink for 6 months. I'll just have one. It's not possible if they have that.
They're off to the races.
I pray for God to heal that, rebuke the curse, and then he totally didn't want to drink. Like a year later, he said, I just tried a beer to see what it tastes like. He said, it's so weird that I don't want it, and he said it tasted awful. So God delivered him, but I've tried that with many that didn't work. You know, and I've seen people on psychotic drugs.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
You're the one.